I thought about what Chiron had told me when I started my quest, that a hero should never harm mortals unless absolutely necessary. I didn't know they could make weapons like that.
They probably can't, Luke agreed. It's one of a kind.
He gave me a tiny smile, then slid the sword into its scabbard.
Listen, I was going to come looking for you. What do you say we go down to the woods one last time, look for something to fight?
I don't know why I hesitated. I should have felt relieved that Luke was being so friendly. Ever since I'd gotten back from the quest, he'd been acting a little distant. I was afraid he might resent me for all the attention I'd gotten.
You think it's a good idea? I asked. I mean...
Aw, come on.
He rummaged in his gym bag and pulled out a 6-pack of Cokes.
Drinks are on me.
I stared at the Cokes, wondering where the heck he'd gotten them. There were no regular mortal sodas at the chem store. No way to smuggle them in unless you talked to a satyr, maybe. Of course, the magic dinner goblets would fill with anything you want, but it just didn't taste the same as real Coke straight out of the can. Sugar and caffeine. My willpower crumbled.
Sure, I decided. Why not?
We walked down to the woods and kicked around for some kind of monster to fight, but it was too hot. All the monsters with any sense must have been taking siestas in their nice, cool caves. We found a shady spot by the creek where I'd broken Clarice's spear during my first capture of the flag game. We sat on a big rock, drank our Cokes, and watched the sunlight in the woods. After a while, Luke said,
"You miss being on a quest?"
"With monsters attacking me every 3 feet? Are you kidding?"
Luke raised an eyebrow.
"Yeah, I miss it," I admitted. "You?"
A shadow passed over his face. I was used to hearing from the girls how good-looking Luke was, but at the moment, he looked weary and angry, and not at all handsome. His blonde hair was gray in the sunlight. The scar on his face looked deeper than usual. I could imagine him as an old man.
"I lived at Half-Blood Hill year-round since I was 14, he told me. "Ever since Thalia, well, you know, I trained and trained and trained. I never got to be a normal teenager out there in the real world. Then they threw me one quest, and when I came back, it was like, okay, ride over, have a nice life."
He crumpled his Coke can and threw it into the creek, which really shocked me. One of the first things you learn at Camp Half-Blood is don't litter. You'll hear from the nymphs and the naiads. They'll get even. You'll crawl into bed one night and find your sheets filled with centipedes and mud.
"The heck with laurel wreaths," Luke said. "I'm not going to end up like those dusty trophies in the big house attic."
"You make it sound like you're leaving."
Luke gave me a twisted smile.
"Oh, I'm leaving all right, Percy. I brought you down here to say goodbye."
He snapped his fingers. A small fire burned a hole in the ground at my feet. Out crawled something glistening, black, about the size of my hand, a scorpion. I started to go for my pen.
"I wouldn't," Luke cautioned. "Pit scorpions can jump up to 15 feet. Its stinger can pierce right through your clothes. You'll be dead in 60 seconds.
"Luke, what?"
Then it hit me. "You will be betrayed by one who calls you a friend."
"You?"
I said. He stood calmly and brushed off his jeans. The scorpion paid him no attention. It kept its beady black eyes on me, clamping its pincers as it crawled onto my shoe.
"I saw a lot out there in the world, Percy," Luke said. "Didn't you feel it? The darkness gathering, the monsters growing stronger. Didn't you realize how useless it all is? All the heroics, being pawns of the gods. They should have been overthrown thousands of years ago, but they've hung on, thanks to us half-bloods."
I couldn't believe this was happening. "Luke, you're talking about our parents," I said.
He laughed. "That's supposed to make me love them? Their precious Western civilization is a disease, Percy. Dee. It's killing the world. The only way to stop it is to burn it to the ground. Start over with something more honest.
You're as crazy as Ares. His eyes flared.
Ares is a fool. He never realized the true master he was serving. If I had time, Percy, I could explain, but I'm afraid you won't live that long.
The scorpion crawled onto my pants leg. There had to be a way out of this. I needed time to think. Kronos, I said, that's who you serve. The air got colder.
You need to be careful with names, Luke warned.
Kronos gave you to steal the master bolt and the helm. He spoke to you in your dreams. Luke's eye twitched.
He spoke to you too, Percy. You should have listened.
He's brainwashing you, Luke.
You're wrong. He showed me that my talents are being wasted. You know what my quest was 2 years ago, Percy? My father Hermes wanted me to steal a golden apple from the Garden of the Hesperides and return it to Olympus. After all the training I'd done, that was the best he could think up.
That's not an easy quest, I said. Hercules did it.
Exactly, Luke said. Where's the glory in repeating what others have done? All the gods know how to do is replay their past. My heart wasn't in it. The dragon in the garden gave me this.
He pointed angrily at his scar.
And when I came back, all I got was pity. I wanted to pull Olympus down stone by stone right then, but I bided my time. I began to dream of Kronos. He convinced me to steal something worthwhile, something no hero had ever had the courage to take. When we went on that winter solstice field trip, while the other campers were asleep, I snuck into the throne room and took Zeus's master bolt right from his chair. Hades is held in darkness too. I couldn't believe how easy it was. The Olympians are so arrogant. They never dreamed someone would dare steal from them. Their security is horrible. I was halfway across New Jersey before I heard the storms rumbling, and I knew they'd discover my theft.